We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining me live this morning is Republican strategist Carl Calabrese with Masiello, Martucci, Calabrese, and Associates. Carl, dueling town halls, not a debate. Did we learn more this way?
Yes and no. First of all, there was a debate last night. It just was between Donald Trump and Savannah Guthrie, who I thought was god-awful, absolutely god-awful. Showing everything that's wrong with the modern mainstream media. She was combative, accusatory, rude, biased. I mean, she was just terrible. She went 20 minutes debating Trump before she entertained a question from the audience. If you looked at George Stephanopoulos over at ABC with Biden, in the first 20 minutes, he had four questions from the audience. So I just thought she was terrible.
Yeah, that was a big thing that's been pointed out by many of our listeners on the text line. Let me just read you just a couple of these texts. Savannah was a disrespectful debater, and Biden got softball questions. That's from one text or another. Savannah Guthrie was like a shark coming out of water to start the debate. Trump wasn't telling her what she wanted to hear. She wasn't letting up, but I thought he held his own. That's another texter this morning. And you picking right up on that. I mean, was she out of line? Was that not fair?
No question. I thought Trump did a very good job not only holding his own, but he did not look like a man who 9 or 10 days ago was at Walter Reed Hospital with COVID. He looked healthy. He looked energetic. He smiled. He had a certain charm to him last night. He was far less combative with everything than he was with the Biden debate. And he stayed focused on some key issues. And I think, Susan, this is going to be absolutely the key to him winning this election. And that is, he cannot continue to run against Joe Biden's personality and attacking Joe Biden personally like he did Hillary Clinton. It worked with Hillary Clinton because she's basically an unlikable woman. Joe Biden, for all his faults, is seen as likable, kind of old Joe from Scranton, Pennsylvania. As long as he continues to attack Joe Biden and not attack Joe Biden's policies, he's losing this race. And last night, I thought very, very skillfully pivoted away from those personal attacks against, you know, Sleepy Joe and everything else he says. And he concentrated on the difference between him and Joe Biden's policies on the economy, on the Supreme Court, on immigration. That's what he's got to do over the next 2.5 weeks.
I mean, he was on the defense all night, wasn't he?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, he was because of her, but, you know, she was so offensive herself that he kind of just let her, I think, do her thing and show, you know, just show how biased she and her network were. I thought he kept his cool very well. He stayed focused on the issues, and he was forceful when he had to be. Like, you know, when she kept asking about white supremacy, he said, how many times do I have to answer that? Are you listening? I condemn white supremacy. What's your next question? No, I thought he did a very, very good job. You know,
could he have done a better job with that white supremacy issue to put it to rest? Because it still seems like it's out there.
Well, it's all out there because of the Savannah Guthrie's of the world keep asking it like he hasn't answered it. And how many times does he have to say it, that he condemned David Duke, he condemned the Klan, he condemned the neo-Nazis, and yet you still get this question, and you still get the Charlottesville lie that he said there were good people on both sides of that issue, when that's not what he said at all. And anybody who takes the time to call up that transcript and read it will see clearly that he condemned the neo-Nazis and the KKK twice, and his comment was about the people debating whether or not Confederate statues should stay up. That's what the comment was about. There are good people on both sides of that issue, not the crazies in the streets on both sides. So, I mean, the media will not let this go. And isn't it interesting that, you know, the media never asked Joe Biden about his comments in the past, the fact that he eulogized white Southern segregationist senators. I mean, if Trump ever did that, that would be the key, the only question in these activities. But not one question by George Stephanopoulos or anyone in that ABC audience to Joe Biden about his son Hunter emails.
That's the other thing I was going to bring up.
Not a one.
We have listener texts this morning on this too. You know that he was never asked about his son's emails, you know, from the New York Post. How disgraceful is that?
I looked at the Buffalo News again this morning. I don't think I saw any articles about it. I mean, again, if the tables were reversed, if the shoe were on the other foot, I guarantee you this would be front page above the fold headlines. But, I mean, this is what Republicans and conservatives have to deal with the mainstream media. It's just the way it is, and it's not going to change in my lifetime. You know, Susan, I have to say that I had to drive NBC executives absolutely batty that they, by chance, positioned a woman, an African-American woman, right behind Trump's shoulders, and she was in every single frame of the broadcast. You could not look at Trump without looking at her. And she continually was shaking her head, yes, affirming all of Trump's answers, and at the very end, put a great big thumbs up. I said that had to drive NBC crazy.
You're probably right. Hey, I want to ask you, the battleground states that you're watching in this final stretch right now. And I mean, it's so different from even 4 years ago.
Actually, it's right on track of where it was 4 years ago. There was an article I read the other day that listed about six or seven of the battleground states and showed where Joe Biden is today and where Hillary Clinton was 4 years ago. And almost in every case, it's within a couple of tenths of a percentage. It's almost dead even. Now, the difference is, and this is a key difference, by this time 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton's numbers were coming down. So where she was, you know, 4 points ahead this week 4 years ago, at the very beginning of the month 4 years ago, she may have been, you know, 6 or 7 points ahead. So her numbers were coming down, and they would continue to come down until right up to the eve of election when they're just about, you know, within the margin of error. That's not happening this year. Biden's lead of, in most cases, within the margin of error, 4 points, 4.5 points, has stayed consistent since before Labor Day, and it's not moving. And those of us in the political business know that when you're looking at polls and at this point in a campaign, the trend line is just as important as the bottom line number. And unless those things start to move, you know, Trump's in bad shape. So that's what I'm looking for. But right now, it's exactly where it was 4 years ago in all those key states, but not moving down as it did 4 years ago.
Okay. I guess what I was referring to is 4 years ago, it seemed like Florida and Ohio held the key. If you won Florida and Ohio, you would win the race. This time around, I mean, Trump needs to win Florida and Ohio, but it seems like Biden has different options.
Yeah, Biden has a much bigger playing field to get to the White House than Trump. The key state this year, Susan, Florida is still important, but it's going to be Pennsylvania. I think the person who wins Pennsylvania is going to be in the White House. It's tough to see Trump putting together the 270 electoral votes without Pennsylvania. Biden has a number of options, even if he loses Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania is a must-win for Donald Trump.
Carl, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks so much. Carl Calabrese from Masiello Martucci, Calabrese and Associates.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.